What if every day you had the chance to experience more love and intimacy in your life? We're going to be sharing stories of struggles and triumphs in love, sex, and relationships, along with expert advice to create more conscious connections. Enjoy this podcast with Dawn Richard. Wake up to real love.
Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Richard, also known as The Awakening with Dawn, and this is the Wake Up to Real Love show. And I'm super excited today to welcome my new friend, Christy Holt. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Dawn. I'm super excited to be here with you today. I know we are going to have an absolutely incredible conversation.
We are. We have so many things in common. It's really kind of crazy, but synchronistic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce you. Excuse me. Christy is a self-proclaimed happiness hussy, adventure guide, podcast host, Create Your Happy, inspiration for conscious women wherever you listen to podcasts, and international best-selling author, Unstuck for Women, available on Amazon, on a mission to spread happiness around the planet. Yay, happiness! Christy is a mentor for whole-ass humans. Using her signature CREATE method, she adventures alongside of her heart-led clients to support and love them as they discover and unlearn. That's interesting. Christy's membership helps her clients to create a life they love, full of loving and healthy relationships that make them truly fucking happy. Ooh, I said the F word. Welcome, Christy!
Thank you so much for having me, and I expect that may not be the last F word of this show. So
yes, she just asked, can we swear? I was like, yeah, I guess you can.
You know, it just adds a little zhuzh when sometimes there's not quite enough punch to a sentence, right? So I never use it in a negative, you know, derogatory way. I always use it to like add a little extra punch.
A little emphasis.
Yeah.
Okay, because your book is called Unstuck, and I know you have another book coming back, which we can talk about too, but where in your life did you feel the most stuck?
Oh gosh. Well, I would have to say that was when I was in my second marriage, and we can talk about the first one another time, but the second one was particularly stuckness inducing. I really discovered at one point I was waking up with anxiety every day. Mm-hmm. I was overwhelmed before my feet hit the floor in the morning. I really lost sight of who I was as an individual. I had three children, and at this point I suffer from what I refer to lovingly as just a momitis, which is really just to say really stuck behind that label of being a mother and kind of not knowing who I was outside of that label as wife and mother.
Right. That's your only identity oftentimes as a mom.
And
just a mom.
You know, I was in people's phones as so-and-so's mom, right? I was meeting other people, but I was really just my children's mom to them. And so I really was kind of struggling in this period of time to figure out not only who I was, but what I really wanted to accomplish in my life, because I felt very stagnant. I felt like there was absolutely something more available to me, but I couldn't figure out what that might be. Mm-hmm. I really was struggling to find my passion, my excitement, my zhuzh for life. And when you're waking up with anxiety every day, that's kind of the side effect, is to feel really stuck. And the thing about feeling stuck is it's actually the catalyst, because if you're feeling stuck, it actually means that you recognize there's something more for you. Like inherent in that stuckness is more possibility. And that's why you feel that, you know, maybe that discomfort, because you sense that there's something that's not quite aligned.
Right. And so how long did you feel that sense of stuckness?
I would say that I probably felt that for a number of years, where I was really struggling. I was unhappy and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I could really stay in my marriage. And I also simultaneously didn't know if I had the guts to leave and whether that would be the quote unquote right decision. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, I can tell you very assuredly that you cannot make a wrong decision if you are following your heart and following what feels most aligned for you and following, you know, love rather than fear. But in that moment, it didn't seem like I had a choice because I was living in survival mode. Yes. I was anxious. I couldn't see clearly. I was like, it was brain fog. And what I could see was that I was unhappy, that he wasn't, you know, being this or that like I had hoped, and a relationship was struggling. I was feeling like I had to walk on eggshells. I was feeling like I couldn't be myself. I couldn't express myself. I couldn't ask for anything.
Because why?
I felt so alone. Well, I was avoiding conflict. You know, everything seemed to, you know, blow up into a big problem. Like literally something I felt like as simple as asking, could you grab some milk on the way home, would turn into a big conflict over, well, why couldn't I do that when I'm at home all day? And so, you know, I eventually stopped asking because I knew that I wasn't going to get a favorable response. And I just, you know, the people pleaser in me wanted to avoid at all costs any conflict. Right. I was in many ways attempting to protect myself, but also protect my children and really manage the moods in the entire household, which if you've ever done this or attempted to do this, because you can't actually do that, you will know what a roller coaster ride it absolutely is, because you think that you can have any control over it. And that's all just an illusion, because you actually have no way to control the other person. The person you can control is you. But when you're focusing so heavily, like I was at that time, on, you know, managing his emotions, I was fucking missing something very important, which was managing me, right? My focus was completely in the wrong place. I was complaining and blaming and venting to my friends and distracting myself and running away, like quite literally. And this is actually the story that I'm sharing in my brand new book, Run for Your Life. I was running away. I was avoiding. I was doing everything that I could to avoid facing the truth of the situation. Honestly, to avoid facing myself at the end of the day. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I one day had this sort of like epiphany moment. It was sort of like, oh shit, like I'm the common denominator in every one of my quote unquote problems. And I was like, oh man, that is an uncomfortable place to be. But if I'm the common denominator in all the problems, that means that I'm also there and available to create all of the solutions. And so making that tiny shift allowed me to step back into my power and say, okay, well, hold on a minute. I've been really focusing on all the things that I don't want. And all that's been getting me is more of the things that I don't want, more of the conflict, more of the, you know, the distance, more of the challenges. And I was just kind of over it. And so I was working with a therapist, actually, around this time, and she had me create this list. And I'll tell you what, it was hard. It was really difficult for me to create this list. But this list was about what I wanted to create in an ideal relationship. So let me back up for a moment and explain to you why I found this so difficult. Number one, I had been so focused on the stuff that I didn't want that that is what my filter was set to.
Right.
So I could very easily define, I don't want this, I don't want that. These are the things that I would happily never see again in my entire existence.
Right.
But to flip that around was a bit of a stretch, just because that's where I had focused for so long. The second piece of this was a bit of a worthiness issue. Because after having been in this situation where I wasn't having that for this length of time, this duration of this relationship, I started to question whether I even deserved to have some of those things. And not only deserved, but was it even freaking possible, right?
Exactly.
Because where I'm standing, I am seeing a very different picture than what I would define as ideal. I didn't really even know what that ideal looks like. But foreseeably, it's the opposite of the, you know, somewhat the opposite of what you don't want.
Right.
It's that leap, making that leap between there was really challenging, because in my mind, I thought that if I wrote down that picture of what I really wanted, knowing full well that this was not it, where I was right now was not it, I was spelling out my divorce. And that was really, really difficult for me to do, because I didn't want that. I mean, nobody goes into that should I stay, should I go decision lightly. Nobody wants to end their marriage, especially when there are children involved. And I had been staying, you know, in my mind thinking, I'm protecting my children by staying together, by keeping our family together for a very long time. And so this list was a bit of a catalyst in many ways because she did help me flip it around. And I realized, okay, well, there actually is this picture of what it could look like. And what she had to do was convince me that he didn't need, this wasn't about my husband at the time at all. And he didn't need to, you know, even be remotely capable of doing any of the things on the list because it wasn't about him. It was about me and my desires. And so finally I was able to sort of let go of that stuff in my brain that was like, well, he can't. And so I don't know if I should be, you know, desiring this because that means, you know, all of these heavy things. And I just created a list for myself. Like, what would that look like? And it wasn't about physical characteristics in any way. It was about how I would feel, right? How we would interact, the experiences that we would intentionally create together. So mm-hmm. a lot of laughter, a lot of passion, a lot of adventure, a lot of these things, the way that we would speak to each other, the way we would hold each other in our difficult moments, all of those sorts of things. Now,
that's probably seemed like outer space.
It did. And I'll circle back to it a little bit later on, I think, in the conversation, because I did find someone who did meet all of that, but that's a little further down the story. So back to when I'm in this relationship and I create this list and I'm thinking, I just put it tucked it away on my phone. Like, here's this list.
You didn't say, here, honey, this is what I want.
You know, I was fairly confident because what had led to this point was him not showing up for our couple's counseling appointments.
Oh,
I was pretty sure that he had next to no interest in seeing my list, nor, you know, putting any effort into, you know, we had just been down that road a number of times. And it was pretty clear to me at that point that I was asking the wrong person. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, we put our worth on other people. And it's a colossal mistake because him not being able or willing, whatever the case is, I can't assume his intentions. Actually, it was not a reflection on me whatsoever. It didn't make me less deserving. It didn't make me right or wrong for wanting those things. And it didn't mean really anything about anything except that we weren't in alignment, right? And so often we'll walk away thinking like, oh, what have I done wrong? And like, why am I not good enough? And why can't I find anybody that truly loves me? It's not about that. It's just that it's not aligned. And so if we could stop taking a lot of that stuff personally, we could just stick to our guns and say, like, listen, it's not right. It's not right. Like, that's okay.
This isn't working for me.
Right? It's as simple as that. And it doesn't mean that they're a bad person or that you're not good enough or vice versa. It just means it's not a fit. Right? And if we could stop taking that so personally, we'd really free ourselves from a whole lot of suffering in the relationship world. And even recognizing sometimes family is not quite a right fit and that we need to make difficult decisions and set and uphold difficult boundaries with people in order to maintain our happiness. Because listen, happiness is our intended state. It's our natural state. And this is why I
look at any kid,
right? Until the world comes in and tells them, not like that. Don't be that. You're too loud. You're too this. You're not enough this. All of these rules that we take on as our identity. And this is all of the things that we need to unlearn, that we need to strip away. Exactly. Because the happiness is below that. It's not out there in the world. You know, you're not going to go chasing it and finding it. You're not going to find it in your next purchase or your next vacation or your next romantic partner. You're not going to find it there. If you're continuing to chase it in the outside world, you're going to continue to miss it because it's not out there and you're just looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Now, if you shift that inward and start to strip away the things that are interfering with your experience of that, the identities, the beliefs, the things that you're creating in your world that just simply aren't in alignment, guess what? You'll discover that it was there within you all along. Just like the love that you've been seeking out in the world, if you're looking for a relationship, if you're looking for love and acceptance and peace and joy, all of those things are within you.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to look in the right place.
Well, it's so fascinating because I feel like this is really common in relationships where you just point the finger at the other person and you're not taking responsibility for your own internal sense of well-being. And so you just end up pointing the finger at them and yet you just have three fingers pointing back at yourself. And so that same thing in my marriage, it was like, I was tired of this roller coaster ride and for a long time, I felt stuck as well. And so I finally came to this moment where I was like, it doesn't matter what you do. It matters how I want to be, how, you know, I need to create my own sense of peace, regardless of the roller coaster. I need to create my own sense of happiness. And so many people feel stuck and powerless. Like, I don't know how to do that. So how did your running, I mean, was that, that was a big part of your journey, right? Of filling yourself up.
It was, it turned out to be a little bit more significant than I actually anticipated when I picked it up. I initially literally started running more or less as a coping mechanism, as an avoidance strategy, because guess what? If there was a conflict brewing, I could just go out for a run, have to go for a run. And if there was, you know, something, anxiety kind of building up, it was a good release. So in some ways it was healthy. And in some ways it was really trying to run away from the things that ultimately needed to be faced. Mm-hmm. And you realize that, you know, as far as you run, as fast as you run, you cannot run away from yourself. And that was sort of the end aha moment was I was trying to escape it all. I was trying to avoid it all. And it all was tagging along with me, right? I couldn't escape it all. And, you know, eventually I realized being alone with my thoughts for any length of time was actually terrifying because my thoughts were very uncomfortable. It was like non-fucking stop, like anxious thoughts, overwhelm, my to-do list running over and over, all of the lists of the shortcomings that I had, like the inner critic was strong, right?
Yeah.
And so eventually I realized I can't be alone with my thoughts for that long. So I started running with other people so that I could further distract myself and avoid even facing myself in my own inner world. And eventually I came to realize that I couldn't run away from it. I was running, and you know, my story in Run for Your Life, because it's a compilation book of 14 different stories, and they're incredible stories, which are about running, but also simultaneously not about running, right? Like, it's like my story. It's about running, but it's also really not about running. It's about the life lessons that I learned. It's about being a metaphor for the way that I was experiencing my life. And when I initially started, I was running away.
Yeah.
I was avoiding, I was numbing. I was, yes, in many ways it was healthier than other potential, you know, avoidance mechanisms,
drinking, drugging.
I also probably drank too much wine. I binged too much Netflix. I was like social butterfly. I was never creating any space for me to be alone with myself because the idea of it was terrifying.
Terrifying.
Like, I just could not do it. Not even for a moment. Like, if I was alone with myself, like, those thoughts would run absolutely wild and I just couldn't bear it. So I filled up my schedule. And interestingly enough, the pandemic really shifted things for me in that regard because, well, that was no longer an option. I could not fill my schedule with unending social engagements. Right. And all of the work that I had been doing up until that point in time disappeared overnight, basically. And so while I had previously been probably interacting with a couple of hundred people every single day, I went to interacting with basically no one. Well, my partner at the time, my children, but that was about it. Other than people online, which, you know, was just definitely way fewer people than I was used to interacting with.
Right.
But as a result, I became very okay with being with myself. And, you know, leading up to this, the running, I was running away and I managed to have this moment of like, oh my God, I'm this common denominator, and make this shift into like, okay, well, if I'm at the core of all of these things and I can change it, like, what, how am I going to go about doing that? And so I wrote about this in Unstuck for Women, because what it started out as is just stopping the spiral, right? So we all have like one thought or one feeling, and all of a sudden we're adding meaning, we're adding judgment. It's going to this whole story. It's this whole like assumptions, like it's just this whole. And so that keeps us trapped. Now, what I come to realize was that the emotions themselves are not the problem. The emotions are actually just a compass. They're a piece of information, a signpost, like, and they really don't have good, bad, right, wrong meanings, right? It's just like, almost like this is aligned or this is not aligned. Okay.
This makes me feel better. This makes me feel worse.
Right. And even that's like a bit of a judgment, right? In itself. So if we can strip away all of that and just be like, I'm feeling something, but without adding the meaning, the judgments, the resistance. If we just allow it to exist, you know, some people find it helpful to label what their emotion is. Sometimes that launches people into a whole story about it. So, you know, allowing it to exist for 30 to 90 seconds is generally enough for it to pass and for us to regain clarity of mind so that we can consciously choose, how am I going to respond? And if we don't do this, we'll be in that loop that I was really stuck in, where I was living on autopilot. I didn't feel like I had choices. I didn't feel like there were options available. I couldn't see the possibilities outside of what I was like feeling so stuck and entrapped in. And that was survival mode thinking. Basically, right. I could only see what was familiar, because that is literally how my reticular activating system, the part of your brain that filters things into your experience, because literally our brain, it would probably explode if we were trying to take in all of the information available. So our brain, thank goodness it doesn't explode, but it does filter in information based on our past experiences and right. what we are expecting. Right. And so guess what? We are expecting more of the same. And so we experience more of the
more
same.
The same.
No, we resist.
It's a crazy cycle, yeah. isn't it?
And we resist and we cling to things like we have some control over it. And the truth is, just like we said earlier, you do not. The thing that you have control over is your response to it.
Right.
And so if you want to be in the driver's seat, you want to move out of this autopilot survival mode functioning where your brain is literally not functioning on all cylinders, right? It's not firing on all cylinders. Some of the extraneous programming is literally on sleep mode. We want to get your brain back on to work fully functioning, all of those critical, you know, powerful critical thinking skills and problem solving skills just require us to shift that 30 to 90 seconds through the survival mode, you know, reaction, so that we can intentionally choose, how do I wish to respond in this situation? Who do I wish to be in this moment? And when we're in that place, that's us standing in our power. Now, if you've been perpetually in survival mode, I get that, because I have been there. It's not like one time. Okay. This isn't like a one and done, like right. one time you're going to feel something and you're going to say something
poof,
and then all
done.
Of a sudden everything's okay. That's not how that works. And in fact, you know, the best time to prepare for these situations is when you're not amidst
in that,
the chaos,
right?
Right. You're standing in the middle of a shit pile. It's hard for you to see anything besides the shit. And so we want to plan ahead so that these, you know, recovery strategies, these ways of moving through it and not getting stuck in it, become like second nature, like their practice, their habits, just as much as anything else.
Anything
so else. It's easier to move through it more confidently and more consciously, choosing our response in the end. So sometimes if we're really particularly stuck and we've been in survival mode for a very, very long time, this takes quite a bit of practice. And maybe some people out there are like, I don't even have a calm moment because everything seems like a dumpster fire.
Right.
And that's okay. It's still worthwhile to practice it when you have a few moments. And the more you can build it into your routine, and I'm not talking complicated things. This isn't like, you know, you're going to have to completely change your life. It's sometimes as simple as taking a few deep breaths before responding.
Right.
And this is a practice that anybody can master because, hey, we're all human. We all got this incredible gift of breath. And so if we just tap into that and use that to bring ourselves into this now moment, we can then choose who we want to show up as. And I think a lot of times we also get trapped in this idea of like, who do I want to become? And I want to become this person who is better. And that's kind of a trap too, because the truth is you're already whole and you're already that version of you. That's already within you. If there's something that you desire and dream for in life, you're already there. You already have it. And so you don't need to become anyone. You don't need to change and, you know, do all the things differently and all of these things. It's really just coming back to the heart of who you truly are.
Yeah.
And being that person here and now. That's your superpower.
But we have all of this messaging of mm-hmm. who not to be. You know, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You should be more like this. And so I feel like this is where we get stuck in that programming sure. and that feeling of helplessness, yeah. powerlessness. And so even when you were talking about the 30 to 60 seconds, it was 30 to 60 or 30 to 90. I forget.
30 to 90.
Yeah, 30 to 90. So most most people, many people have been taught to suppress their emotions.
Yep.
Right. And so how do you shift that? Because I've been suppressing them for so long, I don't know what it actually feels like to feel.
Yeah, it's really tricky when we've really cut ourselves off essentially from feeling. And the real downside to this actually is that the more we cut ourselves off from feeling the uncomfortable things, we inadvertently cut ourselves off from feeling the good things too.
Right.
We just, in essence, we cut ourselves off from feeling, period. So we end up kneecapping ourselves in that way. And so ultimately there are a lot of practices that you can do. And I think the first step would be allowing some of those feelings to exist without the stories, without the judgment, without any expectation of yourself, and simply just being aware in your body. So meditation can be a really good tool for this. Breath work can be a really good tool for this. There's lots of somatic practices. Anything that is going to help you literally be present in your body,
right?
You know, running could actually be one of these tools, because it does force, if you're breathing like you can, you're barely going to survive. You're going to be aware of the functioning of your body. You can feel your heart beating, right? You can tell that your breath is shortened or tightened, or maybe in short supply, as it was for me many times. And so that helps you to just create an awareness of your body. And, you know, essentially it just takes time to get comfortable with allowing the emotions to exist. And again, it's much easier to allow them to exist when we're not adding all of those stories to them.
Right.
Right. And that's where we really often go off track, is we're adding all of this meaning. We're making ourselves feel something. We often really dogpile on, we'll feel a certain way. Women, especially, we're taught not to be angry, right? It's unacceptable. Can't be angry. You're too much. You're too loud.
Be a nice girl.
You're supposed to be a good girl, and good girls don't get angry, right? Now, on the flip side for men, it's that they aren't supposed to be sad, because
that's weakness. Right.
Don't cry. That's bad. That's wrong. You're less of a man. And so both genders are really, and everyone in between, is struggling with whatever society has taught us about emotions that are acceptable or not acceptable. And women especially deal a lot with anger, and we repress it because we are not supposed to be angry. Now, let me distinguish here. Feeling angry is one thing, and acting out your anger in your behaviors is a separate thing. So if we can separate the two, we can look at the emotion itself, being angry, as being completely fine and acceptable, right? There is absolutely nothing wrong with feeling that emotion. It's actually, again, an inner barometer or compass to say something is not aligned here.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So that we don't go from I'm angry to blowing up.
Right.
Right. And regretting.
I'm going to destroy. Yeah.
Right. And it can be a very quick reaction for many people. It's quicker if you have suppressed those emotions for longer, right? So the more you have resisted and tried to not be angry because it's not okay and it makes you bad or wrong, the more likely those behaviors are going to come out in destructive ways.
Like a pressure cooker.
Exactly. And so if you can create just enough space to say hey, I'm feeling really angry. Now, how do I choose to respond to this anger consciously, intentionally? How do I want to show up? Right? The anger, the issue, you probably, if you've been slighted, you probably don't deserve it, right? Most of the time we do take things really personally, and it probably wasn't even about us. So there's a lot of pieces to unpack there. But if we can just allow ourselves to sit with the emotion for a minute and feel it, listen, we've all felt an awful lot of emotions in our life. None of them have destroyed us. We are all capable of feeling a very wide range of emotions. We're complex as humans. We'll feel everything from the highest high to the lowest low. It's what makes this meat suit pretty spectacular, that we can experience this full range.
Yeah.
And none of them have really, actually caused us any damage, not the emotion itself. What has caused us damage is our response, right? Our reaction to it. has caused us damage. And if we are ignoring it, it's causing us damage on the inside, even if we can't see it on the outside.
Right.
So allowing yourself the space to just feel it will help you to quote unquote heal it. And to me, healing is actually not a process of fixing or getting better or improving right. or any of these things. It's actually a return to your wholeness. And it's not even a return because you never left it, but it's a remembrance more so than anything else that you are already whole and perfectly imperfect and complex and beautiful and magnificent. You're a freaking miracle. I mean, like, listen, your lungs are breathing on their own. Your heart's beating on its own. You're not even doing anything. So appreciating that the gift that is you in each now moment and allowing yourself to be, to feel, to exist is just a magnificent piece of this human experience. I call it a messy, fucking beautiful adventure because it's both of those things simultaneously, right? There's so much beauty. And yet there are also challenges, which, I mean, messy is kind of a light way of saying it. It's not.
No, I say messy too. Like, it's just messy.
Yeah, it feels messy. Yeah. I mean, the truth is it's all for a purpose. It's all moving towards your, you know, your greatest alignment. And like I say, you can't go wrong. You can't choose the wrong path. You can't be on the wrong path. You can't really make a wrong decision because even if you make a quote unquote wrong decision, you learn and then you can course correct and you can adjust and you're still on that path. So you really can't go wrong, you know?
But so many people beat themselves up and say, I made a bad choice. I did the wrong thing. And that's that internal condemnation, right?
Yeah.
I'm a and bad you know what, person. That- I'm a horrible person. I'm not worthy, you know, and then you just get in that cycle or stay in that cycle.
And that stops you from course correcting and getting right back on path. So it's actually almost like, you know, and no one's doing this intentionally. So let me just say that in front here, but it's almost like an excuse from doing the things to correct it, right? It's to say, I made a mistake, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to talk about how I made a mistake. Mm. Now, if you want to step into your power, you recognize, okay, that didn't work out according to plan. And it wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything bad or wrong, but here I am with a new possibility, a new opportunity to move forward, to forgive myself, to give myself compassion, because the truth is we're all doing the best that we can with the, you know, the resources and understanding that we have at the moment.
Right.
And so it serves no one to beat yourself up for, you know, doing the best that you could, right? Like we're all doing that. And if we can give ourselves that love and compassion to say, like, I was doing the best I could and now I know differently and I can, you know, respond differently. That's where your power comes from. It doesn't come from looking back and saying like, well, I did this all wrong and I'm such a mistake and a failure. And all that guilt and shame does is distract you from taking that next step forward.
Well, so in that sense of I'm not good enough, because you're talking about power. And I was thinking probably many people have limited experience of feeling powerful and out in the world, we see more power over people, you know, trying to oppress people in our relationships. We feel like somebody's trying to yield their power over us. Yeah. And so we lose this internal sense of what does it even mean to be powerful? Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, ultimately that creates power struggles when it's this whole power over approach, right? Yeah. It creates us versus them, a me versus you,
right?
Who's going to come out on top sort of scenario. And that actually doesn't serve anyone, because even if you're trying to come out as powerful in the world, you're not actually powerful within, because the true power within actually isn't trying to manipulate anything around you, because like I said, that's all an illusion. You're just, you know, trying to chase something that, again, you're chasing after the wrong place, right? You're chasing it in the wrong place because it's not out there, it's within. And so truly this power within is the basis for creating the relationships that will actually be power with, so that we're working together with the people around us rather than trying to, you know, find our space in the hierarchy of the world. And the truth is we're all connected. We're all one. We're all made of the same thing. We're all breathing the same air. This entire, like, I don't know. It's just magnificent. This planet, like everything is just working in like perfect harmony. And I know it doesn't feel like it, because what's not working in perfect harmony is sometimes our stories of it. Right. And these thoughts that are not us, these feelings that are not us, the stories that we're telling, they're not us. These identities we've taken on, they're not us. It's all this illusion that we have created to create this sense of me, right? And to find my place in the world, instead of recognizing that we're all connected, we're all one, we are all made of the same thing. And, you know, when we work together, we create even more magically. But instead of fighting against each other, we want to really step into this place where we are creating from within, right? We are in control of, and not control of like the same way that we were talking about there before, where we're manipulating the things with right. This intention of like being powerful. But the true power comes from within and knowing who we are and what we are able to create from within, and creating the experiences that we want. Right? The ones that feel really good and really aligned for us, the ones that we're choosing, not the ones that are just happening happenstance because we're on autopilot and we don't see any other options, but like the dreams that we have within us. Mm-hmm. Like our power comes when we're like, hell yeah, I deserve that dream. Like that's something I wanted since I was a kid. And, you know, maybe someone told me I couldn't have it, or, you know, this or that, or like, that's, you can't make a living doing that, or you're not tall enough, you're too tall, you're too this, you're not enough that. But those dreams are placed within us, you know, for a purpose. And so our power comes in when we say like, hey, I'm worthy and deserving of that because I exist, not because I performed or earned
what I
it,
do,
you know, or what I'm doing, but because of who I am, who I'm being. And what you are is infinitely worthy simply for existing just as you are. And who you are is perfectly imperfect, just as you are, without all of that extraneous crap, without all of the stuff that's been in the way of your seeing your innate wholeness, right? And essentially, like I say, this healing is this remembrance of like, I am whole. And you know what? A whole person has, you know, quote unquote, good and bad. They have the light and the dark, right? We have the joy and the sadness. We are all of those things rolled into this magnificent meat suit, capable of feeling and experiencing such a wide range. And truly stepping into that full capacity is us in our power, recognizing this wholeness and acting from this place of wholeness to create the life that we truly want. And that is one that is full of joy, full of peace, full of happiness, full of the experiences that are of your wildest dreams. Like that right. is what you are here to do.
Right. And so that's this internal sense of power is really an acceptance of yeah. all that you are. So yep. it doesn't matter what I do, how I show up. It's just, I'm powerful within because I was made to create. I was just going to ask you that question next, because as you were talking a lot about creating. And I feel like so many people just wait for other things to happen rather than create the things, create the response, create the shift in direction of the emotions and all that thing. So you want to talk about your create method?
Yeah. So my create method is sort of just my overall framework, because listen, life is not linear. Neither is my framework. This isn't a step A to Z sort of situation. It cannot be, but we're too complex for that. But create is an acronym, which stands for calibrate your consciousness, refine your routine, elevate your energy, activate your aligned life, tune into your true vision, and empower your elevated self.
Wow.
And so together, right? And again, not linear. We're not going from C to E. We're not going C to E. We're not going A to Z here. It is, piecing together the pieces in a way that is aligned for you. It is truly about meeting you where you're at. And it is absolutely about this unconditional self-acceptance to say, listen, okay, my hair is it's very fine. Like, I don't have to love that. Love it like it. You know what I mean? At least we confuse the love and like thing a lot. I don't have to like it. but I can love it. I can learn to love it. I can learn to accept it for what it is, right? My arms may be a little bit jiggly, okay? I don't have to say I'm just doomed to have jiggly arms forever. I can do something about it, but your power comes from you like really starting where you're at right now and saying, like, today, my arms are jiggly. Now, what do I want to do about that moving forward? And what can I choose to do in this moment to make an impact towards that? Right? Because creation is essentially taking those desires and taking action, taking aligned action. And it's not about becoming someone else. It's acting as though you are that person. Right. And if you, you know, wanted, for example, again, back to the jiggly arms, you know, you don't love it. You're like, oh, I really wish it weren't jiggly, but it is. Okay. So step one, today it's jiggly and I have to accept that, because if I actually don't accept that, I'm staying in resistance to it. And I actually will spend all of my time making freaking excuses and feeling bad about all the shit that I did up until now that got me to this point. And that's all a distraction, right?
None of that's all helpful. Focused on the past.
All focus on the past.
Yeah.
Now, instead, we also don't like want to like live in the future either entirely. We want to have like mind of what we'd like to create in the future, but we can only live now. The only thing we can actually control is here and now. And so how do I want to respond to this? I've accepted it. My arm is jiggly. Do I want to do something? And it's okay if you don't, but if you accept that here you are, now you have a choice to make, right? Now you see there are possibilities and opportunities for you to choose. And that is ultimately your creator power. How do I choose to move forward with this? What do I choose to do right now? What action am I going to take? Maybe I'm going to go lift some weights, right? Maybe I'm going to choose to not do that and then learn to love and accept that my arm is a little bit jiggly because, hey, you know, it happens. We're humans. This is not going to be, you know, the supermodels don't even look like the supermodels in real life. So,
right.
You know, we really, I don't want to get into the diet culture thing because I will get very frustrated about that. It's been, or the anti-aging or any of that shit. There's been so much conditioning and programming out there to tell you that you're not good enough, that you're supposed to this, you're supposed to that, that you should this, you should that.
It's only to sell a product.
It is all about their bottom line. They literally profit off of making you feel less than
about yourself
and unworthy and like you are a horrible, you know, a horrible meat suit invading kind of person. And it's just not the truth.
Right.
So that's a topic for a whole nother conversation. But if you can, you know, just accept, like, listen, if you're not going to accept where you're at right now, you're arguing with reality, right? If I were to say, you know, I don't like this, well, I'm arguing with reality. Like, I don't have to like it, but like, it's here. So why am I going to sit here in this place and argue with reality? You know, I'm in a relationship. This is not my situation, but say I'm in a relationship and the person is, you know, doing something that I really don't like arguing against it and saying, like, he shouldn't do that. You're arguing with what's actually happened.
Right. Like, I did a lot of that.
I have too. And, you know, this is essentially why I can recognize it. Like, you can spend a lot of time arguing with what has already happened and arguing with the reality of the situation, or you can do something now to create a different reality now.
Not change their behavior. You just
you can't change them.
Your response.
And, you know, you can't really do that to change their response, but it often does very greatly impact the response of the people around you. Now, you got to do this without any expectations, because sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. But if you
Which is change, why we got divorced.
Which is why, you know, and essentially that's your trajectory. I started working on me. I started changing me. I started to realize, hey, these thoughts and these feelings, they're not me. They're not my identity. Right? So I don't have to listen to what they're all saying, right? I can just be like, oh, that came out of nowhere. And no, thank you. I'm just going to move right on past that and choose to react in this other way. I usually say react for like an unintentional and respond, but
respond.
Y'all know what I mean. It's more of responding. And so if we can get into the habit of responding instead of reacting, that is going to really shift a lot of things, because responding means that you are actually consciously choosing your actions in that
consciously
moment.
Consciously is a big word.
Yes. So that means with intention. That means you're seeing the choices, you're using your critical thinking skills to say like, okay, well, if I do this, this is the, you know, potential or likely outcome. This, if I do this, this is the potential or likely outcome. I now have, you know, I have the sense of how I wish to show up, how I would like to be, and the experience that I would like to create, which one seems like the best fit. And no, you're not going to get it, quote unquote, right every single time. You're going to have some lessons where you learned that was not it, yeah. Right? Just like in setting boundaries, sometimes you don't know a boundary's been crossed until it's been crossed. And then you're like, okay, crap. No, something needs to, that did not work for me, right? I actually did this thing and I thought it was going to be okay. And it turned out it wasn't. And that's okay. That's how we learn. Next time you can say, you know what, this actually doesn't work for me. And to just touch on boundaries, since I brought it up, I'm going to just also really clarify, because there seems confusion out in the world about what boundaries are, and they are not a wall to keep people out. They are actually an invitation to bring people into deeper connection with you. And so they're not about your preferences or your opinions or the things that you'd like other people to do. They are actually about what you are going to do, right? Mm-hmm. So a boundary is not like, I don't like it when you, nope, that's not a boundary. A boundary is, if you continue to treat me this way, I will respond by leaving the room, by hanging up the phone, by whatever your response is going to be, because you do not have an ounce of control over anybody else.
Right.
You cannot make them respect your boundaries. And they're not for them. They don't have to, just like you don't have to adhere to everyone else's boundaries. I mean, it's nice. You know, people generally have a heart to be kind and, you know, respectful of other people, but not everybody is there. We're all on our own journeys. And a lot of us have been through a lot of trauma that are preventing us from showing up in a way that allows us to be respectful of other people's boundaries. Some people just, they're just not there. They don't have the resources and understanding yet.
Right.
We believe they're doing the best that they can, given what they have. But we don't all have the same thing. I mean, 8 billion people on this planet, approximately. There are 8 billion perspectives, 8 billion experiences. And while we're all connected and share so many of these common human experiences, none of us, not one of us, has the exact same experience. Therefore, since our experiences, our past, all of our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, all of these history moments that we've gone through create our personal perception of reality. So in that way, it's all filtered through our singular 1 in 8 billion perspective, right? And so if we want to have a different experience, we have to adjust that filter, right? And so I've shared in my book a number of ways about how to go about adjusting your filter. Essentially, you got to stop the spiral so that you can get curious with yourself to start to understand what it is that feels aligned for you so that you can start creating from that space, right? The conscious creation that I speak about.
Right. And so the boundary, I remember in my own situation, he would yell a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would stand there a lot. And then until I decided I don't want to do that anymore, you know, so I would say, I'm walking away right now. And when you decide to speak to me respectfully, I'll be happy to have a conversation. Yeah. And I just go,
yeah.
And it's like your sense of power, internal power. It's like, I'm creating something different for myself.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And that is the only kind of power that we can, is to change our experience of it.
Right.
Right. Because there is almost nothing that you can do. And, you know, you speak about parenting. A lot of parents think like, I can control my children. Okay, well,
that's the grand illusion.
First of all, that's the kind of shit that people who don't have children say, first of all, until they have children. And then they're like, oh, I stand corrected.
Yeah, why can't they just control that 3-year-old that's screaming? I would never accept that. And you're like, yeah, you've never had a kid. Okay.
Yep. It's super funny, but we all, so many of us do this. So many of us are definitely guilty of being this kind of person before having children. And it's, again, it's the perspective, right? You don't have the experience. You don't have the same perspective. You just can't understand in the same way what that's about until you've had certain experiences. And I think that's what, you know, ultimately makes this human existence so interesting, is these perspectives and these experiences. And I view it as like, I went through a lot of stuff. It was very messy for a long time. And when I go back and
feel good for a long time,
it did not feel good. It felt the opposite of good. It felt really, really not good. But when I go back, when I change it, when I do it all differently, I wouldn't, because all of that experience led me to where I am today. Yeah. And literally, I would not be here in this now moment, having this experience right here, this conversation, this cup of coffee, none of it would exist.
Yeah.
Had I not been through every single one of those experiences, like every single moment is like building on the last to create this incredible experience. And so if your experience is one that is making you feel like the opposite of good and very not good, I invite you to just start here and now and look around yourself, take some deep breaths, come into your body and decide, how would you like to feel? Right. And can you, you know, call upon that feeling, because they all were created within you, right? If you know, I'd like to feel more happy, well, chances are you have experienced that happiness at some point in your life. Maybe it was when you were 3. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Maybe it's when you look at your dog, right? And they come up to you at the front door and you feel this moment of unconditional love. Just call that in, whatever that good feeling is, just into your existence for a moment, and just allow it to be there. Hang on to it for just a moment and then let it go, right? Because we can't hang on to these things either, because life is going to continue lifing. You right. know, people are going to continue peopling, you know, as they do. And God, I love people. They're fascinating. I absolutely adore watching reality TV for this very reason, just to observe people doing their people thing. I find it so interesting.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
And if you can actually get to that place where you're like, wow, that completely polar opposite opinion to my own opinion is fascinating, you'll release yourself from a whole lot of pain and suffering, because nobody has to be right or wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody can just be, right? And there is a level of freedom inside of that, that, you know, as they say, surpasses all understanding, because now you're no longer entrapping yourself in this pile of crap and, you know,
or a power struggle or.
Yeah. And all of this mess, you can actually just free yourself from it. And in fact, I like to say that I turn my mess into my message.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that the mess is still in there, right? It didn't go away. I didn't erase it. It didn't not happen. It happened. Oh, wait, I assure you it happened, right? And it's in there, but we can alchemize it into something that's so much greater, yeah. Something that can be used to help other people who might be maybe going through something similar to the mess that you were through, and show them the possibility, the hope, you know, potentially show them, you know, you can't show them their way, because we're the only ones that know our way,
right?
But you can point them, you know, inward to find their own way. You could show them some ways to potentially explore, because chances are, you know, if they haven't been exploring, they just maybe need a little bit of adventure in order to find their path. And it just means testing a few things out, seeing what feels aligned, what doesn't feel aligned. It's not about, you know, necessarily following someone else's strategy or someone's method or
right.
anything like that. And, you know, even right. my create method, like I say, it's a framework. It's not an instruction manual, because you are the, you know, the one who knows perfectly for you what is going to work and what is not.
Right.
And you just, you know, you have to trust yourself to make those decisions. And if you've spent a lifetime not trusting yourself, doubting yourself, guilting and shaming yourself, and it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's the programming. It's the conditioning.
Yeah,
it's,
I was just going to say, you've been conditioned.
It's not your fault. This isn't about fault. It's not about blame. It's not about any of that. It's about you finding your freedom, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. This is you stepping into your power to create something different. And so, you know, just step into that power, because your freedom and happiness are truly waiting right there for you. They're not even out there. They're actually right
they're in here,
waiting for you all along.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Can you talk about how you transitioned? I mean, you got divorced, and then while you were running, you found another beautiful relationship. I mean, a beautiful relationship that was very different than the previous ones that you had had.
Yeah. And I do share a little bit about this story. It is in my chapter of Run for Your Life, but this is kind of the end of the story in there, really, because the story is about the running. And as it did turn out, I absolutely was not looking, did not want a relationship, actually wanted nothing to do with that whatsoever, was completely 100% content just being by myself. And
that's,
what happened?
That's the magic right there.
That is the magic. And what happened was I found someone else who was also completely 100% content with being his self. And so what happens when two whole people come together, there's no expectations, there's no void to fill, there's no, you know, right. requirement
you
for someone else to
change. Me.
Oh, I talked about that on my first episode of this podcast season, this whole idea of you complete me. And the truth is, stop looking for someone to complete you, because first of all, that in like implicitly, you know, solidifies the idea that there's something missing from
enough.
You, that you're broken,
right.
that you're not whole. And that's bullshit. That's not right. The truth. You are whole.
Right.
And so instead of looking for someone to so-called complete you or to fill your voids or to, you know, help you heal, instead look for someone who can completely accept you. Right. Mm-hmm. Because this is how you can heal. This is how a relationship can help you to heal, is when someone accepts you with all of your perceived weaknesses, because they're actually probably not weaknesses, but we often perceive them as weaknesses. They're just this other part of the whole.
But doesn't right? that are, start with accepting yourself first?
It sure does, right? And if you are someone who can accept yourself, you will soon discover that you don't really want to be in a relationship with someone who can't deal with that, right? Because you know what's for you and what's not for you.
Right.
When you recognize and remember that you're whole, you know what feels right for you, what feels aligned for you, the rest just falls into place. You don't have to go hunting for it. You don't have to chase it. You don't have to try it with all your might to rearrange the external world to create it. You can create it from within yourself. And then you magically find the right people. Because if you are fully expressing yourself authentically, you know, unapologetically, just showing up as yourself, not with the masks, not with the people pleasing, not with trying to make someone else like you, not with the performing, not with the trying to earn or prove your value to anyone or anything, but just knowing that you're already immensely worthy, like infinitely worthy. And you show up that way, you're going to find people that feel the same about you. You're going to allow people the opportunity to truly see you, to truly hear you, to truly connect with your heart. And this is a path to this unconditional love and acceptance. And I'll tell you what, you don't need to, you know, perfectly love yourself for someone else to love you. That's not what I'm saying here.
Right.
But what I'm saying is the depth of the love that you can experience is impacted by the depth of the love and acceptance that you have for yourself.
For yourself.
Right. And that is the foundation. Like if you are struggling to accept and love yourself, you are going to see this mirrored in your external world, in the relationships that you have with other people. You're going to experience doubt, right? Because you don't know if you're worthy of being loved in that way. So you're going to project that doubt onto other people. I don't really think that he loves me. I'm not sure. All these past experiences pop up and crop up and interfere. And guess what? You're like in a perpetual groundhog day, having the same experience, same right. relational patterns, day in, day out. And you're like, why? What is wrong with me? And the truth is, nothing is wrong with you. You are perfectly imperfect and you are whole, and you just are not remembering how magically perfect and perfectly imperfect and whole you are. So if you can bring it back to that and sit in that wholeness and just remember how worthy you are, then that love will begin to overflow, right? This love that you have inside of you, this unconditional love and acceptance, actually comes from within you.
That you just blocked.
It's just
your whole life.
Yeah, it's just blocked. So it's like that unlearning, that clearing away, that making space for, the removing things that are preventing you from seeing and experiencing that. It's not that you have to become someone else. You're already that person, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of actually being that person here and now. And then so, allowing that to overflow.
And so the person that feels worthy and that does love themselves, how are they treating themselves?
Yeah, I mean, they are accepting. They're not, the inner critic is quiet. I mean, I don't think that it ever goes away. So don't get me wrong. I don't think that we can ever like turn off our brains.
That's the reptilian brain.
It's in there. It's going to keep going. I had this conversation with a friend a while ago, and he was asking me like, does it ever shut up? And I said, no, I don't think so. But eventually you can get to the point where you're observing it and you can actually just witness it. And sometimes it's actually pretty freaking funny.
Yeah, right? I know. Like, there you go again.
That come from, right? That's interesting. And so it happened as he was asking this question that just the day before I had been out for a walk and I was literally telling myself, like, this feels so good. This feels really good in my body to be outside and getting fresh air and walking. What does my asshole mind do? It brings up chocolate cake. So, like, you know what else would be good right now? Chocolate cake. I'm like, where did that come from? It wasn't my conscious thinking. That's for damn sure. Cause I was just thinking how good I feel, but no, it's like, you know, maybe chocolate cake. I'm like, what the heck? Right. So it doesn't go away, but you can start to look at it and be like, oh, you're so clever, you, but like, no, thank you. Right. I'm just going to carry on doing this thing that I know actually really feels good. And I'm just going to go on and ignore that. And you know what? Those patterns popping up, it can be really frustrating when you're witnessing it, right? Because you feel like, oh shit, here we go
again.
Mm-hmm. Same freaking patterns coming up again and again and again. But the truth is, if you just could start recognizing this pattern popping up, you are already one step ahead of the pattern itself, yeah. Right? Because you are never looking at this thing from the same perspective. Every single time you see it, you're like, okay, well, I see you there. You may not respond differently off the bat. You might still fall prey to your pattern. It might keep freaking happening. You might be like, oh shit, I did it again. I responded. Oh, I ate the chocolate cake again. Oh my God, what did I do? But every single time you observe it and say like, look, it's coming up again. Now you're stepping more and more into that power. Now you're able to consciously witness it. You can do something about it, right? And this is this awareness is the catalyst to actually making a change. So instead of beating yourself up for saying like, I saw it and I still bloody did it again, instead of going down that rabbit hole, celebrate yourself. I saw it this time. Next time I'm going to see it and I'm going to behave differently. And because I've seen it, now I can decide right now what I'm going to do differently next time, right? This awareness actually really empowers you to consciously choose. And yet you still might mess up in the moment, but the more times you consciously set your intention to react, respond differently next time, the more chances you are going to be of actually doing that, showing up differently next time and creating a different experience for yourself, which is what this is all about.
Right. And even sometimes it's like, oh, that chocolate cake sounds really good. Okay. Just have a piece of chocolate cake and don't judge it.
For sure. Like I'm not dissing chocolate cake. I do love me some chocolate cake, but it's different to like, just give into the thing and to consciously choose.
That
sounds amazing. And I will have some chocolate cake today. Right. Yeah. And I will, you know, I will stop eating the chocolate cake when I feel satisfied.
I'm not going to eat the whole thing.
Sounds delicious. And I've definitely been guilty of that, but then I feel guilty about that. Right.
Right.
And so we want to avoid setting ourselves up for these situations where we know we're going to feel a certain type of way after, and just make choices that feel good both now and are not going to have like sort of a abandonment or like a rebound effect, you know, in the upcoming now moments. We can choose things that feel good now and that will continue to feel good, that align with us in this version of ourselves that we truly wish to be.
Yeah, I could talk to you for hours. we're so aligned on so many things. I'm going to be conscious of your time. So I just want to ask you, how can people get in touch with you? When is your book coming out? I mean, so many exciting things are happening for you, Christy.
Yeah, there is a lot happening. The best place to find all the information is on my website at coachchristyholt.com. And you'll find the link for the podcast there, all of my books. I also have like some other fun freebies. I have some sweary meditations that are super, super fun. They're quickie 5-minute meditations. I have the Unstuck for Women and the Companion Journal, which are really helpful for getting out of that state of survival mode and into consciously creating about that discovery process within, right? About unlearning and really remembering who you are in all of your magnificence. Run for Your Life is coming out March 15th. It's going to be available on Amazon. The information for that is, of course, on the website as well. And yeah, I have really enjoyed this entire conversation. It's been so fun. I really do feel like you know, creating platforms for people to share their stories just allows us to be real. And when we are real and authentic and show up and just share our stories, may they be vulnerable and whatnot, it gives other people permission to show up as their whole selves too, and recognize, you know, hey, we're not perfect by the external standards of the word perfect, because, well, what would that even be? There's 8 million people. So who is
defines?
It?
Who's the one?
Right. So, you know, that's all an illusion, but really, truly, we are perfectly ourselves. And so just allowing yourself the permission to show up as yourself, unapologetically, fully self-expressed, and leave your mark on this world through the creation powers that you have within. That's, you know, that's just what you're here to do. And you're here to create your happy.
Yes, I love that. I love that. I love that. Okay, so my last question that I always ask my guest is, because this podcast is called Wake Up to Real Love, how do you define real love?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, love is actually our essence. In my perspective, it is the basis of our being. It is the energy of our existence. It is the central energy that connects us all. And, you know, I truly believe in unconditional love. And I know that there are many people out there who do not believe that unconditional love exists because, you know, they have experienced trauma in relationships or different kinds of love that have come with many conditions. And I want to invite any of those people just to allow themselves to feel the unconditional love within. It doesn't need to come from anywhere outside of yourself. And in fact, it all originates from within you. And so if you can really sit in this place, and so a lot of these people think, well, okay, well, I can unconditionally love my dog. Great. Call upon that energy. Feel that energy of that unconditional love in yourself, because that is where it comes from. And from there, you don't have to do anything. You just have to be in that feeling of love, and then it will overflow and you will see it magnified in your experience. And that's how you will experience the external experience of unconditional love, is just by allowing it to overflow from within.
Well, you did say on your little form that you filled out, don't fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Be what's it till you see it.
There you go.
Yeah. All about that being, baby.
I have loved this conversation.
Me too.
Thank you so much. It. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. You're just a beautiful, bright light. Bright, bright, bright.
Yeah. And thank you so much for creating a platform. I think it's so important to have spaces and places for people to share their stories, because it is in the sharing that people realize that we're not as alone as we might think we are.
Yeah. And so, and wherever you are in your journey, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling powerless, all of those things, it's like when you have these conversations, it gives people hope that there's a different way of being.
Yeah. And there's something really magical about, you know, when we're in suffering, we will often surround ourselves with other people that are going through something similar. And that can be to our detriment if those are the only types of people that we hang around. We really, it's to our greatest benefit to really spread our, you know, spread our community a little bit wider than that, so that we can incorporate people who have been there, done that, and come out the other side, so that we can see what's possible, so that we might be inspired, so that we might, you know, see some potential paths to explore and to really help us, you know, move out of that space where, you know, misery does love company. That's absolutely the truth. But to move beyond that and to really flourish in life, and we all deserve that. You know, that's absolutely, you know, the path that you're meant to be on.
Happiness, joy, and love, and expansion. Also love company.
Yeah.
So let's be that.
Yes, absolutely.
You are that. So thank you so much for having me. I mean, for having me, for me having you.
I appreciate
the show. And listeners, if you enjoyed this, please share it with around the world, because we want to share these messages of hope and love and joy and happiness and beautiful expansion and potential and, you know, all of the good things. So please leave a 5-star review, tell your friends, and every day wake up to more and more real love. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Subscribe to the Wake Up to Real Love podcast, leave 5-star reviews, and of course, share with your friends. You can find Dawn on various social media platforms at Dawn Richard or at The Awakening with Dawn.